Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast. It's fantastic to be back. Had a brilliant holiday, a few weeks off, real rest, lots of chocolate, far too much chocolate probably, and lots of time with my family. I hope you did too. I hope your festive season was wonderful and that you're excited and looking forward to 2017. I want to start this year's podcast series by setting out my stall, in a sense. Something that I was saying a lot at the end of 2016 was, there's no such thing as leadership development. And I found myself saying it so much that I thought I better do a podcast about it and explain to you what I mean. So what do I mean? Well, the more I read about leadership and the more I work with leaders and the more I do my own development, the more I realize that there really isn't such a thing as leadership development. When we think about leadership development, we think about going on a course. We think about learning theories and models and tools. We think maybe even about getting an accreditation or a qualification. We think of leadership as a profession, and in professional training, there has to be a lot of intellectual activity. So think about other professions. Lawyers need to know stuff. Doctors need to know stuff. Accountants need to know stuff. So in order to professionalize leadership, business schools and anyone else, frankly, who wants to be seen as credible, have created lots of models and tools that must be taught and learnt and applied. But what if leadership isn't a profession? What if we can't apply those kind of standards to it, and therefore we can't teach it in the same way? What if leadership isn't really an intellectual activity at all? What if it's more like being a citizen or a parent or a friend, an identity that we're not formally taught, but that we construct ourselves based on what we see and experience around us and our own inner guidance? So, of course, you can read up on being a better parent or a better citizen or a better friend, but it's self-directed learning, typically. We haven't yet tried to professionalize those roles. We make our own minds up about what kind of parent or citizen or friend we want to be. We evolve that idea as circumstances change or as we learn through doing. We seek out expertise where we think we need it. So if you want to read a parenting book, you do. If you want to go on a self-development course to learn to be a better friend, then you do that. We seek out the expertise when we need it. We don't have it thrust upon us. Because of that, we rarely tell ourselves we're done. You know, I'm the perfect parent now because I have an MPA, a Master's in Parenting Administration. We don't do that. And without the security of the formal qualification, we always accept that we're a work in progress. We're doing the best we can. When you have a formal qualification, the danger is that you think, I'm done now, I'm qualified, I know how to do this. Of course, all you've really done is been on a course and got a piece of paper. There's nothing in that that says that you actually know what you're doing. Without the security of a formal qualification, we find ourselves attracted to people who share our values or who talk about things in a similar way. So we find ourselves with a group of other parents who kind of parent in a similar way to us, and we share our experiences and we hear theirs and we learn from each other. Or we find people who are a valuable contrast, maybe parents who parent in a different way, who provide different experiences and make us look at ourselves and our parenting style in a new way. But we find our own tribes to belong to. If we think about leadership more like that, then it really changes where we focus our attention when it comes to how we develop ourselves or how we learn to lead, because it stops being about courses and accreditations and becomes much more about self-reflection and discovery. It becomes about adapting and evolving based on real life experience, not based on case studies that we learn in a classroom. It becomes about talking about those experiences, sharing those experiences with people who share our values or people who provide a valuable contrast, and hearing about their experiences and their attitudes and their mindset, but then making up our own minds. There is no right or wrong way to do it, except for the way that we decide is right for us in that moment. And therefore, it becomes being about who we are. It's an inner journey of self-discovery, as opposed to leadership being a thing we do to other people. We stop being the experts with all the answers and become players in an evolving dynamic. So as circumstances change, we adapt to them. And we play a part in shaping those circumstances, but we also know that we only have a certain amount of influence to shape the circumstances, but we have complete influence to shape how we respond and react to those circumstances. If I give an example from parenting, then at a certain point, I stopped being able to carry Ivy up the stairs to bed. And at that moment, I stopped being able to enforce bedtime through physical superiority. You know, up until that moment, if I wanted her to go to bed, I lifted her up, I took her upstairs, I put her in bed, and I closed the stair gate, and that was the end of that. But once she knew how to open the stair gate, and once she was too big for me to carry up the stairs, I had to change my approach. And so it is with leadership, with real leadership. You understand because you're not relying on a qualification that tells you that you know what you're doing. You understand that what worked yesterday won't necessarily work tomorrow. And that's why these podcasts are so much about what we think, how we feel, and how to understand that inner world. It's the only way you'll be able to adapt to changing circumstances. There is no algorithm to determine the right thing to do in every situation. There's no book that's going to tell you where to turn left and where to turn right based on a whole set of different scenarios. You're going to have to look inside you and figure out that the best you can. And if you're pretty familiar with your workings, that's going to be a lot easier. What do I mean by inner work? Because this is a term I use a lot, and I don't often define what I mean. By inner work, I mean looking at the part you play in the situations that you're in. You are 50% of the dynamic in any relationship that you find yourself in. So your beliefs, your assumptions, your values, your experiences, your physical and emotional well-being, your needs, your priorities, all of that stuff determines how you tick. And all of that influences your contribution to a particular situation. Many leadership models ignore all of that aspect of the dynamic. They present how things should work if no one brought any of that to a situation. So let's look at a few examples. Let's take Myers-Briggs or any kind of personality profiling tool. And I've used these tools and I've found them very insightful at times. But how you're feeling about yourself, how you see yourself, how you see the test, the mood you're in when you fill the test in, the accuracy of your self-awareness, your judgments about what is good and what is bad, affect how you will answer the questions. When you get the results back, sometimes you see yourself very much in the results. You think, yeah, that is me. How amazing! They got me completely. But it's no surprise, really. You provided the data. Sometimes people are surprised by the results they see and they're critical of the tool. They say there's a flaw in the questionnaire, which there may very well be. But they don't also consider the mood that they were in, the frustration that they experienced at the moment that they were filling in the questionnaire. Were they feeling really chilled that day? Were they feeling really stressed out? Do they think that they believe something that they don't actually believe? Any of these can influence the data that goes in and therefore the data that comes out. And if you don't really understand yourself very well, then it's very hard to understand the influence that all of these different factors are having on the results that you're getting in this world. And by the way, even if you like the answers, that can still be problematic. You filled in the questionnaire the way that you want to be seen. You like the answers that are coming back because to you that represents what a good person looks like. And let's say that you are determined to be, say, an extrovert, as I am. you also know that sometimes you aren't. It depends who you're with and how you're feeling and the culture that you operate in at work, what that dictates. Maybe it's very tolerant towards extroverts. Maybe it's more tolerant towards introverts. It depends how tired you are. I know that I'm extrovert when I'm at a big event where I'm a speaker, but when I'm a delegate, I tend to be more introverted. I'm there to listen and to learn. We're adapting all the time to circumstances around us, and unless we understand what's driving our adaptiveness and what causes subtle or dramatic changes in our personality day to day, we're never going to really understand the impact we're having on the situations we find ourselves in. Let's take another really interesting model that I've used many times, Daniel Goleman's 6 leadership styles. Now, I really like this model as a way of simplifying leadership down to 6 different approaches, except that while we say we should all be less directive and do more coaching, it kind of depends on the situation, doesn't it? And it kind of depends how we're feeling and who we're dealing with and the culture that we operate in and how much time we have. And not only that, but because we're always adapting, some days we're good at something and some days we're not good at it. You will be a different leader every day, depending on the situations you find yourself in, of course, but more so how you respond to that situation. And if you don't understand how you respond, then you can't really use the model. It's just theory. You know what's right and how you should be, but you can't apply it in life because you're not seeing what you're bringing to this kind of complicated party. So by all means, read the books and learn the theories and the models. I have hundreds of them stored up in my head, but they will be useless to you if you aren't aware of all the complexity that you bring to every situation. So it's really time that we turned development around and looked at ourselves. So a very good example is the giving and receiving of feedback. Most leadership development programs will focus on giving feedback. You will be provided with tools or methodologies or formats to help you to be better at giving feedback. But I really think that we should be learning how to receive feedback. You're getting feedback all the time from every situation that you find yourself in. It doesn't have to be a formal situation where someone sits down and you say, "Can you give me some feedback?" and they tell you what they think of you. You're receiving feedback all the time, but you're not always hearing it. Sometimes you're resistant to it. Sometimes you don't even notice that it's happening. But if you became better at receiving feedback, you understood your resistances, you understood where feedback was coming from, you saw everything that happened to you as potentially feedback about you and for you to help you to grow as a person, then you would be able to find value in what happens around you 100% of the time. If what we train people to do is to give feedback, then some people will be good at giving feedback, and so the recipient will be able to hear it. And some people will be bad at giving feedback, and the recipient won't be able to hear it. There is no guarantee we're going to have an organization that is learning from feedback. But if we help people to receive feedback better, then they will receive feedback whether it is delivered correctly or not. Not only that, but if you learn how to receive feedback from all different sources, no matter how it is delivered, whether it's delivered intentionally or not, then you will model certain behavior. And you will give people around you permission to also receive feedback differently. And that is one of the ways that you will lead a change in culture around feedback. In this way, leadership stops being a thing you do to others and becomes about self, about self-leadership. And if leadership is about self and self-direction, it makes no sense to present people with a program of this is how you learn to be a leader. It makes much more sense to create opportunities for self-directed learning, a journey of self-development that continues throughout life. Leadership stops being a thing you do and becomes a way that you are. And you don't need models and tools and years of study and an exam paper. You just shift your focus inwards to yourself and make that your business. On March 29th, 2017, I will be one of the speakers at the Agile Working event in London. This is an inaugural event, the first of its kind, to focus specifically on Agile working. I'm the closing speaker at that event, and the day is all about sessions looking at the future of work, a more agile approach to working hours, to flexibility, home working, the technological solutions that make this possible, and the benefits to business, as well as the benefits to employees, of course, of rethinking how we work. Full price tickets are £399. There is an early bird special of £299 if you book before the 31st of January. However, listeners to the Punks in Suits podcast can access a special promotional price of £249 plus VAT. So all you need to do is go to the website and check it out. It's www.agileworkingevent.com. www.agileworkingevent.com. You will see more information about the speakers, who include people from E.ON, Lloyds Bank, EY, Nationwide, lots of other places as well, all talking about their experiences of agile working and the impact on their organizations. Then you contact the event organizers, and the email for that is contact@agileworkingevent.com. contact@agileworkingevent.com, and use the following code: Agile Working Event BP17. Agile Working Event BP17. Put that in the subject heading and then you will be able to access that special price. It will be absolutely fantastic to see you there. If you decide to go, either by booking through the website or by using that special promotional code, then please let me know. It'd be great to catch up with you and see you at that event. I think it's going to be really amazing. As I've said, it's the first conference of its kind to focus specifically on agile working. I think this is going to be a major, major theme for businesses over the next 3-4 years. And this is a great opportunity to be right up there at the beginning of this whole trend. So that's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show and found it thought-provoking. And just to wrap up with the information about how to access that promotional price for the Agile Working event, here is the lovely Ivy Palmer.
If you would like to attend the Agile Working event in London on March 29th, 2017, we are able to offer a special price of £249 plus VAT. A saving of £150. This price is available to listeners of the Punks in Suits podcast, and all you need to do is send an email to contact@agileworkingevent.com with the words Agile Working Event BP17 in the subject line. Tell them how many tickets you need and how to contact you, and you will be able to get the special price even when the early bird price has finished at the end of January. For more information about the event, go to www.agileworkingevent.com. Please stay in touch with us on Twitter, Instagram and email, and remember to share this podcast with as many Punks and Suits as you know.